And then there are page numbers down there. The page numbers go to Brown, Driver, and Briggs there. They might go to Kohler and Bumgardner. They might go Gesenius or Davidson's or whatever. And I'll tell you a little bit. It'll have a little thing down there. And words mean a lot in Hebrew, don't they? They mean a lot in Hebrew. The book of Genesis is called what in Hebrew, Sharon?
Bereshith.
All right. I want you to break that word down, Brother Roger. Bereshith. Tell me all about it.
So that stands for a preposition.
That's a preposition. What page number is in Brown, Driver, Briggs?
I have no idea.
Page 88.
Okay. It's preposition for in.
Okay, so that's in. And what case is that in?
Is it Cal perfect?
No, what
no.
Case?
Oh.
Case is it in?
Yeah.
That's the Greek equivalent of base. Mm-hmm. Okay. That one's page 88, that one's page 137. In Davidson's little analytical Greek lexicon.
Yeah. I'm stumped.
Locative.
Locative, okay.
N is in the locative case. All right. How many of you can name the eight cases? Eight cases in Greek, and they come over into Hebrew also. Nominative, genitive, ablative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Okay? Those eight cases. It tells you a lot about the sentence. Locative is in what? That's location. All right. In, where? What are two verses that are very much contrasted in the Bible, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but many people don't understand there's a great difference in those two verses? Okay. What are they? Sharon?
Genesis
1:1 and John 1:1. Who can quote John 1:1 in Greek? In,
R-K,
ein, hologos. All right. Kai hologos ein proston theon. Kai hologos ein theos. Now that is the oldest verse in time that's in the Bible. Okay? That's the oldest verse. In R-K. R-K. See, we're getting Greek too. And R-K. That little word right there almost looks like English. Greek is very much like English. N-R-K. Tell me about that word, brother. There's N-R-K. What about it? What case is it in?
It's in eternity past.
Okay, but what case is it in? Locative.
So it's locative.
Locative. In beginning. See, now we bought a sheath and NRK are the basically we're way back in time. But NRK is further. This is locative, singular, and feminine. Okay? It's even got a little E or a subscript underneath that. NRK. In beginning. How many beginnings?
Singular.
All right. Bought a sheath. Tell me about that word there.
That's in one of the
beginnings. In one of the beginnings. Why is it one of the beginnings?
Because it's plural.
It's a plural word. Do most of the grammars even today even talk about the plural?
No.
This is a Hebrew lost plural, and that plural is?
Top.
All right. Bereshith. That's what tells you it's plural. So Genesis 1:1, it says, in one of the beginnings. In beginnings. All right. And John 1:1 says, NRK, that's in the beginning when nothing else existed. That dispensational chart up there, that's way back in eternity past, before anything was thought of or anything was created. That's how far back it is. It's way back yonder. All right? Way back there. In beginning. And then Genesis 1:1 says, Bereshith bara Elohim et hashamayim ve et haaretz. Bara. Tell me about it, Brother Roger.
Created.
Tell me how. Tell me. conjugated.
Oh, okay.
Third person. Masculine singular.
Cal
stem. What tense?
Perfect.
Perfect tense. Perfect tense. What does perfect tense tell you?
Past.
Sharon.
He did it. It was finished.
It's completed action. All right. In one of the beginnings, he had created Elohim. Tell me about an Elohim.
God creator.
Okay. What about this? A creator God. How about Elohim? You know anything about Elohim?
Yeah.
Brother Abe, tell me about Elohim.
Triune God.
It's a plural, isn't it? The Im on the end of that is, that's plural. We have a triune God. We don't have three gods. We got a triune God. By the way, a lot of people believe in three different gods. We don't have three gods. We have one God. Okay? We don't believe, we're not polytheist. We believe we're a monotheist. We believe in one God. Okay? One God. He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What part of God would you see?
Jesus.
Jesus. All right. Now, tell me in the Bible where God teaches the Trinity in the book of Genesis.
Genesis
1:26. 1:26. What does it say? Let's look at it. Go turn back in your book. 1:26. Turn back in your book. We're giving a little review here today. Genesis 1:26. Vayomer Elohim na'aseh Adam betzamenu kidmutenu. We yerdu with God Hayam. Yuvanov Hashemayim. And said Elohim, and this is the triune God, isn't it? We shall make for ourselves. First person construct plural. What's first person? Steve, do you know what first person is? I. Okay. Let's look at that. Here we have all verbs have persons. We have singular and we have plural. First person is I, and then second person is you. Third person is what?
He, she, or it.
He, she, or it. All right. And in Hebrew, we have that. Okay. And then the plural is?
We.
We. Ye. And they. Okay. Ye, or you all. Okay. There is really, in English, the second person plural is ye. Or you all, like in Okie.
In Southern Baptist.
All right. Said, and he said, and kept on saying, Elohim, we shall create for ourselves. This is Calstem, first person construct, plural, cohortive, and meaning. What's cohortive mean?
With volition.
With volition, from your own volition. Okay. We shall make Adam. What about Adam, Brother Mike? You know anything about Brother Adam? Sharon, tell me about Adam. What's the root of it?
Dom, which is blood.
Dom is blood or red. Okay. 1:26. All right. Dom or blood. Now, what is the name for the earth? The earth that's related to Adam. Ha-Adama. Or Adama. Ha-Adama. Ha is what in Hebrew?
The.
It's a definite article. That's the. Okay. What is the in Greek? Give me the three the's in Greek. There's only one the in Hebrew. Ho, A, and To in Greek, isn't it? All right. We shall make man, mankind, in our Betz Zamenu, in our shadow casting likeness. Betz Zamenu. Did you find that, Steve? All right. In our Betz Zamenu, in our shadow casting likeness. So that is what? We're talking about the triune God, and we're talking about the triune man. Is man like spirit? Does man have spirit? All right. Is man is there spirit? Of course. All right. So what part of God is God in spirit? Man is God make man in his likeness. What part of him? In his spiritual likeness. He has spirit in him. And then it says here, Kidmatenu. Kidmatenu. In his blood flowing likeness. Do you see that Dom in there? See Dom? Dalith and Mem? That's in his physical likeness. As what do we call Jesus when he walked in the garden with Adam? When he appeared to Abraham, what do we call that? Steve, do you know what that is? That's a pre-incarnate Christ. Pre-incarnate means what? Before being the state of being in flesh, okay? So God made mankind in his spiritual likeness and in his blood flowing likeness, like Jesus. So now we have the Spirit God, we have Spirit God, Ruah Elohim. Okay, say Ruah. Ruah Elohim. And we have what? Kidmatenu, which is blood flowing likeness, which is Jesus. Okay, the Son. And then we Yerdu. What about this Yerdu? What about we Yerdu? Sharon, do you know anything about we Yerdu?
I know it, but the word's not coming out.
Brother Roger, we Yerdu.
That's dominion.
In our sovereign likeness. Is man sovereign? Hmm. Yes, he is. Now, this is where we have five. We got superlapsarians, infralapsarians, sublapsarians, and the Calvinist group. You know what that is? Okay. The superlapsarians say that mankind does not have volition or will. Okay? But, this says here, he is. He's created, and man was created in his sovereign likeness. Now, did Adam have will? That's what it says here, isn't it? Boy, I mean, in one verse in the Old Testament, you can just see all kinds of stuff. The cohortive. What's cohortive up here mean?
Do it yourself.
Every time in the New Testament where it talks about man believing, what is it?
He's volition.
It's in subjunctive or middle voice. That means something, doesn't it? That's like jussive and cohortive in Hebrew. Okay? I'm a modified sublapsarian. That's what I am in Calvinism. Okay, I don't know what you are, but that's what I believe. But this word made me this. We start out at a five-point Calvinist, but we changed this a little bit, okay? Because the word just didn't, it what bothered me. I see it. So God made man in his spiritual likeness and his blood-flowing likeness, and now in the likeness of the Father, which is the soul of man. Soul of man. Put down psyche. Psyche. All right. What is the word for soul in Hebrew?
Pneuma.
Oh, soul.
Nephesh.
All right. We're getting it all down there. He will have sovereignty over fish, swimmers, and over Hayam, the waters, the seas, and over wing flappers, and then Hashemayim. You know what a Hashemayim means? Tell me a little bit about Hashemayim. Ha.
The.
Shamai.
Waters.
Im.
Multiple.
Plural. All right. Hashemayim. What does Hashemayim mean?
Uplifted waters.
It means uplifted waters. That's what it literally means. Now the earth was created. True science will always agree with the Bible. Baloney science, it won't. Now, the earth was created. When God created the earth, what did it look like? What did the terra firma look like?
Like Pangea.
Pangea, which means what?
One. Continent.
It was earth here, or ground, or eretz, or adama, and then we had waters over here. Now, what do the scientists call this? The geologists.
Is it plate tectonics?
They call it the continental drift, when the earth drifted apart. Okay? That's true. That's what the Bible teaches. We will see that in the book of Genesis. The earth is going to tear itself apart, and there's great mountains going to push up and everything. And what period of time did that take place? Look on the dispensational map. Show me what part of time that. Where did that happen? It was a judgment, wasn't it? You remember what judgment that was, Steve? You know what judgment? How about Brother Abe? When did God divide the earth? When did He break up the continent? Flood, Noah, human government, responsibility, scatter and multiply. They didn't scatter and multiply. Confusion of the languages. The language were confused. And what else happened? In the days of divided, God divided the earth. In the days of Pele, God split up the earth. Okay? Now that happened. All right? It happened. Now they talk about the continental drift. I think it was a lot faster than what the scientists say. It moved on. When man started building that big city, what happened? He built it out of what? What was the Tower of Babel built out of? And it was a great city around it also. What was all built out of? Bricks and stones. What happens to bricks and stone buildings when you have an earthquake? Have you ever been around? Were you around an earthquake, Steve, ever in your life? Yep. It moves things around a little bit. Things fall down, don't they? What do you think happened to all these brick buildings and stone buildings when that? When the earth started moving real, what kind of a seismic number would you have when the earth is dividing? They're living in tents now. They're not going to live in houses made out of stone. All right? You have to realize, we think about houses, we think about wood, don't we? They thought about stone. Now, when you shake, and they didn't have rebar in them either. And the houses, of the big buildings that we build now today have bearings underneath them, don't they? Great pillars down underneath them, and they move with the seismic activity. Seismos, that's a Greek word too, by the way. You see all of this, and it happened back in that period of time. We're going to get through this as we go. God divided the earth, and they couldn't build any buildings for a long time. What's the oldest structure on the earth? What's the oldest structure? Still standing, as far as we know.
Pyramids?
Huh?
The pyramids, maybe?
Not, well, that's close. What's the oldest structure that we know about? That the archaeologists and the anthropologists, what do the scientists say the oldest structure in the world is?
Is it Jericho?
Huh?
Or Damascus?
Jericho's very old. Damascus is very old. Hebron's very old. Okay. What's the oldest structure still standing that had the marks of the Great Flood on it? The Sphinx. The Sphinx goes back before the Flood. Way back yonder. Before the Flood. Read a little bit about that. The marks of the Flood are upon the Sphinx. The pyramids go way back, don't they? Way back. What was the most populated place on the face of the earth in 1000 BC? What was the most populated place in the earth? Tell me what the most populated place in the earth was. I mean the whole earth now. We're talking about all of the earth. Where were more people living? South America and North America and the American continents. When Columbus came here, there were probably 150 million Indians on this continent. What were the most advanced races in the world? Knowledge like. The Hamites. They went out further. And what languages were confused more than any languages? The Hamites. What was the greatest culture in the Middle East? The most advanced culture in the Middle East before Christ. What helped it be the most advanced culture in the world? Joseph. Egyptian. All right, the Egyptian. All right, who were the goldsmiths in some of those glory days of Israel?
This I know. Levites.
The Levites, the tribal Levi, which were the only Jews or Israelis that were not enslaved. The Levites. Have you learned something yet tonight, young man? One thing. All right. The Levites, they were goldsmiths. They were probably the ones that did King Tut's tomb and all that kind of business. You go back in that period of time, okay? So we have man sovereign, made in God's sovereign likeness. Now we're going to talk about the point of no return. We get all the way up in Genesis, the fourth chapter, in verse number 1. I want somebody to tell me what that verse means. All right? Have you got it in English? Genesis, just turn over there to Genesis 4 and verse 1. All right, Bala Sheath, 4 and verse 1. Brother Roger, tell me about this 4 and verse 1. I want you to tell me about it.
So Eve thought when she delivered Cain that she...
Now, tell me the whole verse. What does this say there? What do Adam do?
Well, they had physical relationships.
Yes.
Eve conceived and gave birth to Cain. Then she
what
said,
does Cain mean? Cain.
I've gotten.
Gotten. Received. Gotten. Okay. Now, did God create man in his own image? Mm-hmm. All right. God created man in his image. When Adam created children through Eve, what image were they in? In Adam's image. They made a mistake right here, didn't they? What's Genesis 3:15 tell you? Now, we haven't got this far. Let's go back and finish this one first. Then go back to Genesis 3:15 because they made a mistake right here. There was a great theological mistake took place right here in Genesis 4 and 1. Let's look at it, Brother Roger. Read the rest of that verse. Adam knew his wife. He had sexual relationships with his wife. She caught seed and kept it. That's what it says. All right. She caught seed and kept it. And she, what did she say, Brother Roger?
She thought she had Jehovah.
All right. She said, I've gotten a man, Et Jehovah. Et. What's Et in Hebrew? This is a real simple little preposition. There it is. What is the equivalent of it in Greek?
Ace.
What is the grammatical rule of ace?
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
All right. That's good. You get A+ for tonight. So et and ace are basically the same grammatically to a lot of times. When you see ace in the New Testament, there's a direct object coming after it most of the time. When you see et in Hebrew, we got a direct object coming after that, right after there. And there's where the action is going. I have gotten a man, et Jehovah. All right. Here's the word Jehovah. You know how, have you seen the word Jehovah in Hebrew?
Not that I know of.
Okay. That's it right there. We do not know how to say that. We have no idea how to say this word. All right. There's the word et Jehovah. I have gotten Jehovah. Now let's go back to Genesis 3:15 for just a minute. Think about always the point of no return. Point of no return. Did man ever get innocent again after he sinned in the garden? By the way, what did they do with that tree? The apple tree, you know, that's what they say, with the apple tree, the pomegranate tree, whatever. What kind of tree was it? Whatever kind of tree it was, it's et plum up. They ate it all. They didn't eat some of it, did they? They ate it all because that was in the imperfect tense. They ate it all. They just kept eating it and kept eating it and kept eating it now when they sinned. They never got better, did they? They become gluttons. They become thieves. They become evil. They did all of this, the point of no return. They weren't going to go back. But one wonderful thing happened, scientific. You're a biologist, huh? You study biology. Yep. This is very good to you.
Excellent.
This is going to be real good to you because we're going to figure this out right here. Why was Jesus born without sin? It didn't come through the Father. Where does the blood of all race, the human race, is from what? One blood. Where does the blood come from?
From the original couple, Adam and Eve.
No. Adam's blood came from where?
God.
God breathed in him the breathings of lives, and he became a living being. And where is life? In the blood. Where does every child that's born into this world, where does his blood come from? Daddy. Not from mama. Daddy only. Only the Father. Now, Genesis 3:15 says, let's go back and look at that just for a moment. We can read it in English. We'll just bring it from the Hebrew. Genesis 3:15. Let's look at that. If you want to turn over there, you can turn over there. We're giving you some highlights of some things that we have learned up to this point, the point of no return. Genesis 3:15. And now we have man and we have woman. They ate up all the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's gone. It's ate up. Probably ate up the bark and used it for toothpicks or whatever. They ate it. They ate it all. They were gluttons. They just kept on eating and kept on eating. And now God, the Lord God, now we have Jehovah Elohim. By the way, we won't have the name Jehovah at all until we start dealing with man, do we? Jehovah means what?
He who shall become.
He who shall become. This word right here comes from a Hebrew word, Hayah, which means to become, doesn't it? That's where it comes from. How can you say this word? Is there any way to say it? Why wouldn't Israel say this word? Give me text and verse, chapter and verse, book, chapter and verse. Exodus 20 and verse 7, what does it say?
Don't take the name of.
You shall not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And from that on, they would never say the name of Jehovah. Period. It was gone. Disappeared. Because they were afraid to say it. Okay? Where is the Jehovah title fulfilled in the New Testament? Greek.
1:14.
John 1:14. Tell it to me in Greek, Sharon.
Kai ho logos sarx
agenito. And the word flesh he became. What is the word word? That is a Hebraism. It's not a Greek idea at all, is it? What about ho logos? Where does it come from in Greek? I mean Hebrew.
Hathavar.
Hathavar. What does Hathavar mean?
The word.
When they came to the name of God, when they came to the name of Jehovah, they'd always say Hathavar, the word. And so when John wrote the gospel according to John, he was using a Hebraism. He was not using a Greek word. That word, in beginning, kept on being ho logos, the Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. That's what John 1:1 said. Okay? And it comes from back here. And now Adam is the Lord God. Jehovah Elohim is walking in the garden. And he said, I'm naked. I was afraid. I hid from you. Naked. What does the word naked there mean, Brother Roger? I was wicked. I was deceitful. I was refuse upon the earth. That's what he said. I became refuse. Was the serpent originally, was he bad? No. It says, and the serpent became. Genesis 4. The serpent became more deceitful than all of the beasts of the field. What was the king of all the beasts, by the way? What was the king of all the beasts? According to the Bible. The serpent. How far is this curse going to reach out to the serpent? Where he walked on his belly. How far is that going to reach? All the way to the millennium. All the way. He's still going to be walking on his belly. He's not going to be poisonous. He's not going to be dangerous at that point in time. Only he's going to be a plaything. Just like there were animals. All animals were playthings in the garden. Playthings. Then the Lord God called the man, said to him, where are you? And he said, I'm naked. I'm weak, wicked. I'm evil now. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to? And the woman said, whom you gave us to be with me. The woman whom you gave to be with me. He blame shifted to God, said, you caused it. The woman did it. And she kept on giving to me, and I kept on eating. She kept on giving to me, and I kept on eating. Well, they ate the whole thing. It's gone, see? Lord, it's gone. Where's the tree? It's gone. We ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, verse number 13, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent gave to me. And so he curses the serpent. Except the cursing, the serpent is the embodiment of who? Satan now. He has loaned his body to Satan. And is the serpent responsible for that? Yes. What were the animals in the garden? What were they created for?
Companionship.
Companionship. They were not food. They were companions. And man knew these animals. They communicated. And when the serpent spoke to Eve, she had no problem with that. Do your dogs ever talk to you? Your kitty cats ever talk to you? In a limited way today. Yes, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
They you know what they mean? Do they know what you mean? It's very hard to tell a cat to do anything, but a cat can tell you a lot. Steve, have you ever had a cat?
Oh, yes.
All right, cats are very sovereign. They are. You don't pick them, they pick you. Dogs are very loyal, the way man ought to be to God. That's a good example. Shuka in Lakota. Shuka. The true dog, Shuka. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed you are more than all of the domesticated cattle. And more than every beast of the field, every wild animal that's wandering out there in the field. What kind of domesticated animals were there at this time? All of them are domesticated, weren't they, in all reality? But what were the domesticated animals that mankind has leaned on all of his life? Shukawakan? Horses. What else?
Sheep.
Sheep, goats, cattle. What does the word cattle, boker, mean? Boker.
To break the ground?
To break the ground. Man always used cattle for plowing, to break the ground. That's the name, the ones that break the ground. All right? And there were camels and there were elephants. All right? Did Abraham probably have camels and elephants? Yeah. How about Esau? Camels and elephants. We go way back there. I mean, we had some big animals back here. Back, you know, and some of the archaeologists say, oh, the camels weren't even introduced to this area at this time. Well, now they've got clay tablets and everything to go all the way back there, and we see camels used as weapon or in war. Was there ever war before the flood? Yeah. All right, yeah, there was war. That's one of the reasons that we had the flood. You're cursed more than all of the cattle of the field and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall walk, and laying in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. All right? Between you and the woman and between your seed. Who is that?
Antichrist.
Antichrist. Is Satan going to have a child? Literally? What does it say here? Yes, literally, he will have a child. All right? And her seed. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not the seed of Adam. He was the seed of woman. In the book of Enoch, always it says, when it talks about the Messiah, he calls him what?
Son.
The son of woman. The Christ is always the son of woman. Not the son of man, but the son of woman. Okay. He shall bruise you as to the hail, and you shall bruise him as the heel. In other words, he's going to kill you. But you shall deal him a crippling blow. Now let's go back over here to the fourth chapter. She thought she'd gotten the Messiah, didn't she? She thought Jehovah was born. But she had relationships with her husband. And through the husband was the blood. Biologically, the blood comes through the man. I've had a lot of doctors in my class. Dr. Susan Hume was in my class one time. That woman was brilliant. She's the head of anesthesiology up at Delano now. And I was talking and I said, not one drop of a woman's blood goes into the child. It comes from the father. All right? The blood comes from the father. And she sat there and just looked at me just like this. Now, she was educated at Cedar Sinai in New York. And that week she went, she said, I called all of my professors. I talked to every doctor that I could talk to that whole week before she came back to the church the next Sunday. And she said, she made a statement, and it's on one of the recordings there, and the Doctrines of the Bible, I believe. And she said, the next week, she said, Dr. Phillips told me something yesterday that I did not, or last week that I did not learn in medical school. That the blood of the father is what makes up the child, not the blood of the woman. And the woman's blood never touches the child in all reality. It carries things back and forth and feeds the child and everything, but the blood comes from the father. She said, I learned that in theological class, not in medical school, but that's exactly scientifically correct. There's a man that wrote a book called Chemistry of the Blood, M.R. Dehaene. You can read all about that. Have you ever heard of that? All right, there you go. M.R. Dehaene, go read that. That's biological. See, the Bible is true. Talk about evolution versus creation. Man did not evolve from a tadpole. Did it? Remember Abraham Lincoln? Huh?
He's my neighbor.
He was your neighbor? Abraham. They've got Abraham back over there. Abraham. All right, Abraham. Abraham Lincoln had one little boy they called Todd, because he had a real big head like a tadpole does. So he called him Todd. Tadpoles are not related to mankind. Only in that we come from the same creator. The earth is related to mankind only because what? We're made from the same substance. Was man made from dirt? No. You know, all of the translations say that man was made from the dust of the ground, but is that what it says? No. He is made from the same elements as the dust of the ground. Why isn't he made from the dust of the ground? What would make that man, what would man be if he was made from the dust of the ground? He would be a secondary creation, would he not? You know what a secondary creation? Something's made from something else. Where did the dust of the ground come from? God. Where did man come from? God. The same elements. We're related to them because we come from the same God. But what would happen? God made a prophecy. From dirt, as dirt you are, and to dirt you shall become. You shall become dirt. Now why is mankind going to become dirt? Because he sinned, and dying you shall die. It took Adam over 900 years to die. It was 930 years before Adam died. But he was dead. Wehemoth. You know what Wehemoth means? He died and he stayed dead. That's right. He died and he stayed dead. And he's still dead. His body, you know, unless he was resurrected when Jesus raised those people. That's possible. Well, 4 and verse 1, they thought they had the Messiah. But that child had the seed, had the blood of Adam in it. He was a creation of Adam. God is a creation. Man is a creation of God, and Adam's children are a creation of Adam's children. But they're all made in the image of God because Adam was made in the image of God. Now, what was that horrible in Genesis 6 and 2? What was that horrible, blasphemous act that the angels did there, the sons of God? Tell me a little bit about sons of God. B'nai ha'elohim. What about B'nai ha'elohim? B'nai, brother Abe, B'nai. Ben. Ben means what? According to a pattern. What does Beth mean there, brother Roger? Beth.
Beth is?
That's a female.
Okay.
Made according to a pattern. Yeah. According to a pattern. All sons are made according to the pattern. In the Old Testament, the word sons of God always mean what?
Angels.
In the New Testament, sons of God mean what?
People
that are born again. Because they're created by God. In the Old Testament, the angels are called sons of God because they were like God. Were they not? They were like God. Like God. There's a lot of controversy about angels and pneumatology and all of this. Demonology. What do I do with that? Beyond the point of no return. Mankind reached that point. The human race is about to reach that point because some bad things happen. A lot of triune things in the Bible, aren't they? Triune. What does triune mean?
Three in one.
Three in one. There's a lot of trinities in the Bible in there. Most Christian theologians believe that there are three archangels. One of them is named. We take by inference the other two. What are the three archangels? First of all, Michael. Okay. What is the other one?
Gabriel.
What's the other one?
Lucifer.
Where'd that word Lucifer come from? Latin. From the Latin Vulgate, which got into the King James, because the King James was not translated from Greek and Hebrew, but it was translated from the Latin Vulgate, the Latin Vulgate was translated into the Greek, what we call the Textus Receptus, and then it was created from Textus Receptus, King James, but a lot of it came from the Latin Vulgate, because it went to Latin, back into Greek, and then into Greek again. That's the story of the Textus Receptus in short. What was Lucifer's name in Hebrew?
Hillel.
What does that mean?
Shining one.
Light carrier or shining one. Hillel. Light carrier or shining one. And what does Lucifer, what does the Latin word did it come from? Lucere. What does Lucere mean? To shine. What does the English name Luke mean? That's shortened form of Lucifer. Is there anything wrong with the name of Lucifer? That's a high name. If you named your child Lucifer, that would be a high name. You name him. How many of you know children named Luke? That child's name was Lucifer. That's what his name means, Luke. There is Matthew, Mark, and what? Luke. That's a Latin name, which means Hillel, or in Hebrew, Hillel, or shining. But did you learn that tonight? You got that one there? See there? You just mark these things off now. Well, there's Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And in this spirit beings, now these spirit beings were created way back in eternity past, weren't they? Way back yonder before he created any physical things. And then he created matter. Physical matter. How many dimensions do we live in? How many dimensions are there around us? Do you know that, young man? You're a scientist, aren't you? Biology? You don't know that one? How many dimensions? I know now. You know better than that. Six would be the number of what? Of man. How many dimensions do we live in? It's a perfect decimal number. 10. Now, can we pass between those 10 dimensions? No. We're stuck right in the little dimension where we live. Can angels and spirits pass between those? Yes. They have no problem with this, do they? They appear and disappear. Are angels physical? Yes, they have physical beings. Were angels created in the image of God in some extent? Yes. God created angels, and then he created a physical universe. We talk about physical universe. Even that spiritual universe is matter. Matter matters to God. How about energy equals mass times the speed of light? You got that one?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
It's the speed of light, Einstein.
Okay, that is... That Jewish scientist, what is it called?
Einstein's
theory of relativity. Yep. Where all matter has energy, doesn't it?
Yep.
You never get rid of matter, do you? Okay, that's good. See, we're getting down there. This is evolution versus creation. Okay? Now, in this spiritual realm, there are spirits. What do you say? How do you say spirit in New Testament? Greek? What is it? Pneuma. How about it in Hebrew? Ruach. Say ruach.
Ruach.
Now, pneuma, ruach, what are you doing? You're breathing out. Now, what does pneuma mean?
Breath.
Wind, breath. What does ruah mean?
Same
thing. Wind, breath. I'm going to tell you something. Most Hebrew Bibles, most of the translations of Hebrew Bibles are interpretations, not translations, aren't they? What does the Jewish Publication Society say about when God in Genesis 1 and 2? You remember what it says there? And a wind from God moved over. Blew over the surface of the deep. But in Hebrew it says Ruah Elohim. Ruah Elohim is Spirit God. Spirit God. God the Spirit went over It says in Genesis 1 and 2, we ha'aretz, say that. We ha'aretz. We is what? And the conjunction, we ha, the, eretz, and the earth. Hatya. What's that? Get conjugated for me. Third person feminine singular.
Okay.
Cal what?
Perfect.
Perfect. The first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible are in what tense?
Perfect.
Perfect tense. Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings, God had created the heavens and the earth. By the way, this is very beautiful. He created all the universe. And then he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place. That's what it says. Uyet ha'aretz. He created the whole universe. The word Hashemayim there, it means uplifted waters. But there, in that place, what does it mean? What would be the Greek equivalent of it?
Cosmos.
And what does cosmos mean?
Order.
What does the word cosmetics come from? That's when a woman sets herself in order. Puts these cosmetics on, you know. Where did the cosmetic, according to the book of Enoch, where did all this cosmetology and painting of the faces, where did it all begin?
Nephilim.
The Nephilim taught the women. The Nephilim taught the women how to be beautiful and paint themselves up to be attractive. All right? We have spirits and we have angels. Spirits do not have form. Spirits seek what? To dwell in human or animal flesh. In the New Testament, give me an example of that.
Legion.
Legion. There at the Sea of Galilee, the Gadarene demoniacs. Okay? In the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15. Winahashishi, honey. All right. And the serpent. All right. So we have spirits that are not do not have form, do they? Are they ghosts? No ghost. What does the word ghost mean? What does it mean, Brother Mike? Ghost. It's an old English word, which means what?
Guest.
It's an unwanted guest. But are there any ghosts? We have what we call poltergeist. What is a poltergeist?
Spirit.
It is a guest, an unwanted guest causing trouble, slamming doors, making noises, doing all kinds of stuff. Does this really exist? Yes, but what is it? It's not ghosts. It's not people coming back and haunting things. But it is these spirits here. In what realm did these spirits come from?
Supernatural.
The ones that cause trouble. In Lucifer's realm. One third of Lucifer's, one third of Michael's, and one third of Gabriel's went. If you go to a seance today, they have seances, don't they? We have mediums, we have all these people. Do they really do things sometimes? Yeah, what do the powers come from? Lucifer's realm. Which is a material realm. Where do all the guardian angels come from? Gabriel's realm. Physical realm. He's material. Lucifer was put over the earth. Two books in the Old Testament. Tell me where it tells us about Lucifer. Two books.
Genesis.
Well, it tells about him in Genesis, all right. But specifically, where does it talk about him? Fallen. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. It talks about this. And these are called what kind of prophecies?
Dual
prophecies. Double prophecies. Okay, it pertained to them, but many of the things talking about those people, the king of Tyre and also king of Babylon, did not apply to them at all. Was the king of Tyre ever in the Garden of Eden? How many gardens of Eden were there? How many? Two. The garden in Eden was actually a what? A throne room. It was originally inhabited by Lucifer, and then God reconstructed the throne room and put who in it? Adam. Okay. There's a lot of stuff in Hebrew, I'm telling you. All of the guardian angels come from Lucifer's realm. Not all of Lucifer's angels fell, but we believe one third of them fell, one third of Michael's realm. What is the most dangerous angels that had fallen?
Michael.
Are some of the angels in jail right now? Yeah. According to Peter and according to Jude. All right? And what books are Peter and Jude quoting?
Enoch.
The book of Enoch. All right? Is the book of Enoch quoted in most of the books in the New Testament? Did Jesus ever quote the book of Enoch? Yeah. Read the book of Enoch, you find out. How about the book of Jasher? What does the book of Jasher tell us? Hasafer Yashur.
History.
It's a history of Genesis and Exodus. What does the book of Enoch tell us? The creation and how the angels fell. How some of these angels, and he names the angels that fell. Genesis 6 and 2 talks about the sons of God cohabiting with the daughters of mankind. Now there's two different theories, even three different theories of this. But the Hebrew is very plain, isn't it? The Hebrew is plain. What happened? They cohabited with them. What did they raise? What was the race of people? Nephilim. What does Nephilim mean? It comes from Nephele. What's it mean? Nephilim. Fallen ones. Fallen ones. What kind of great blasphemous thing did the angels do? In the New Testament it says, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, or Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection at all, or any spiritual things. And they came to him talking about this man had married, that this woman had married all these brothers, and when in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Yeah, he said, you err not knowing the scriptures, because in the resurrection there is no marrying and giving in marriage as the angels are. What angels? The unfallen angels. The unfallen angels don't cohabit, do they? But what happened in Genesis 6 and 2? These angels cohabited, and they brought forth a race of giants. What was, and it says there, before and after the flood, they were these giants. Now, are there physical evidence of giants?
I'm not sure.
Are there? There's all kinds of physical evidence of giants. In America, there was. I want to tell you a little something about, you ever heard of that great museum in Washington, D.C.? What was it, the Smithsonian? Do you know that the Smithsonian Institute played down all those giant bones they did for that they found for years? And they covered them up? And not only that, that the Smithsonian Institute absolutely played down all the great civilizations that were in America. America was the most populated place in the world. There was a postal system that ran all the whole length of South America up to Central America. They were into medicine. They had invented the wheel. Mathematics. They had invented the zero before the Muslims ever did in the what we call the Arabic. By the way, they borrowed that anyway, didn't they? All this was taking 150 million people when America was discovered by the Europeans through Columbus. Had Europe ever been here? Had Asia ever been here? Sure. Where all now? The Mormons. What do the Mormons believe about the American Indians?
Lost tribes.
The lost tribes of what? Of Israel. And they came over here in a submarine going across the ocean. And we have these people that came over here, the different ones. You ever heard about this? Huh? All right. The Mormons, that's how they got over here. And where did Joseph Smith borrow that idea from? He stole a book, stole the plates of a book called Paradise Lost by what author? He was a Presbyterian preacher that wrote a fictional book. But does everybody want to know where the Indians came from? Solomon Spaulding wrote that. He got it, and he called it the Book of Mormon. The Lamanites and the whatever. Can't even remember these different people, the Lamanites. And anyway, all of these people. And they also said that man was cursed. All by Indians were cursed. Those Jews that were Indians were cursed, and they were turned black. But if they would believe, what would happen to them in a few years? They'd turn back white again. Now, what's wrong with this deal? If you study DNA today, where did the Indians come from? I see I'm 86.6% Indian. I'm 1/32nd white, Scots. Where did we come from? Where does us savages come from?
Shemites.
Huh?
Shemites.
Where did we come from? What are we? We're Hamites, all right. But genetically, where do we trace our origin? We're Oriental. That's why I used to have those slanted eyes. You know, just Oriental. Oriental. We're Oriental. We trace our lineage straight through Genghis Khan. How did we get here in America? How did American Indian get here? Smithsonian Institute put that down too for a long time. When God divided the earth, he divided the language and he divided the earth. The Indians were here all the time. They didn't come over here in the land bridge. Matter of fact, they trace now through DNA three women. That's what that myocardial DNA? Oh, you know what that is. All right, you got that one. Three women from North America to South America. And they came here when the earth was divided back there. The division of the languages and of the earth. That's how we got here. Now, I traced my DNA. They chased it back. Guess where it goes? Right exactly through the China and right straight back into the Middle East and right back into the Fertile Crescent, right back there where it comes from. By the way, I am a literal son of Abraham. How many wives did Abraham have?
At least three.
Three? What were they? Tell me what they were. What was a Hamite wife?
Hagar.
Hagar. Okay. What does Hagar mean? Wanderer. Wanderer. Whose daughter was Hagar? Pharaoh's daughter. Did you know that? Hagar's Pharaoh's daughter. It's his daughter by a concubine, but she's Pharaoh's daughter. And Abraham, when he went down to Egypt and lied to Pharaoh, he gave him his daughter for a political ally, so they wouldn't fight each other because they're going to be for the same family. Okay. When Joseph went down into Egypt, he was related to those. That's what we call the what kind? The Hoshea kings. Okay, those were the ones that were related, what they call the shepherd kings. They were related to Abraham and they're related to Joseph. And then another group come in there and took over that they weren't related to. They didn't know Joseph. All right. There's a lot of other things. You just study evolution versus creation, you can just find out all kinds of scientific things. Man didn't evolve. A dog didn't evolve. Dogs have been genetically engineered to look like a chihuahua or a great dane. Who invented corn? Who genetically developed corn? Them savage Indians up here in North America, really. Who invented tomatoes? Genetically engineered tomatoes. The American Indians. How about potatoes? It's all here. Who learned how to freeze-dry potatoes like we have in the, you know, instant potatoes? Did they ever instant potatoes here? Before America ever got, before the Europeans ever got here, any Anglo-Saxon? Yes, they had instant potatoes. Yeah. They freeze-dried them.
Yeah,
all right. And beans. What? Had the Jolly Green Giant over here. All of these things going on. Now, a lot of this has been suppressed. The largest, most populated place in the world, the greatest cities in the world, were in South America. The Smithsonian absolutely foo-fooed that for many years. When the Spanish came here, they walked into these cities and they saw the cities were clean. There was no hunger. Nothing. They never saw anything like it in a lot. The streets are clean. In Europe, what was going on? Huh? We're talking about anthropology now, the study of mankind and the study of races. What did Europe look like?
Savage
pigsties. The filth. People were dying of filth horribly. Were the Chinese even interested in Europe? Who had the greatest navy in the 1300s in the world? China. How many ships did they have? 318 ships. Bigger than anything that Europe had ever seen. Theirs were canoes compared to the ships. They had bilge pumps. They had what we call rust-proof nails and everything in these ships. When they come onto into a city or a country, they looked out there and they saw this great armada from China, and they scared them to death. It looked like an island out there. There was many ships. Nothing in Europe. But you know what China said? There was nothing there that they wanted. These are nothing but a bunch of ignorant savages. When the Anglo-Saxons hit the east coast over there, up and down what we call the New England coast, what did the Indians think about those things? These poor, ignorant savages coming over here. They don't know nothing. How about the Great Plains? You ever heard about the Great Plains?
Yeah.
You know, the Great Plains didn't happen, did they? The Great Plains were created by the American Indians. They burned it all off. The Indians set fire and burned from one end of this country to the other. Matter of fact, historically, remember when they had that mini ice age in Europe? You know what caused the mini ice age in Europe? The Great Plains being set on fire here, and all the forests and everything were burned down. When Lewis and Clark came in there in 1800 and something, when they went and checked out the Louisiana Purchase, and they went all the way looking for the source of a water transport from one part of this country to the other. By 1800, in 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, this country had reverted to a wilderness. They said they were going into a great wilderness. It hadn't been a wilderness 300 years before. How about the great orchards that were planted all the way across from the Great Plains onward to New York? What did the early Europeans say? That they were the greatest orchards they had ever seen in the world. There was roads through them. Did Joseph Walker ever discover a trail? He was a trailblazer. What did he do? He followed Indian trails. The Indians were trading all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. One of their trade centers were up there at Mono Lake. This is anthropology. Okay, this is the study of mankind. Man has never gone forward and upward, but he's always gone downward. America, Europe, was quite a place, wasn't it? Kill and be killed. Chasing each other across the Mediterranean Sea, we had Catholicism, and we have Islam after 630 A.D. We have them chasing each other across the Mediterranean, killing each other right and left. Both of them savages. True Christianity never persecuted one person in all of church history. We studied that last 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Beyond the point of no return. What's happening here? Mankind is becoming so bad again in Genesis. Let's read Genesis 6 and 8 here real quick. We know Matzah, Can, Bene, 6 and verse 8. Hadavar. We Noah. We, there is a conjunction which is an, or it can be translated as a strong adversative conjunction, which is what? But Noah. What are the two conjunctions in Greek that equivalent to this? What is the equivalence? Day, Delta Epsilon, and Allah in the New Testament. That strong adversative conjunction is Allah. Weak adversative conjunction is they. And here we have like a strong adversative conjunction. The equivalent in Greek to this we here would be Allah. Okay. But Noah. What about Noah? Say Noah. You got to kind of clear your throat when you say Noah. What about Noah? What about him? What's his name mean? What's his name mean, Brother Abe? Sharon, or not Sharon, but you're next there, Pamela. What's Noah mean? Steve, do you know what Noah means?
Rest at peace.
What?
Rest at peace.
His name means peace and safety. Noah means peace and safety. Noah. The first 10 names in the Bible from Adam to Noah is a prophecy of the whole history of mankind and the plan of salvation, soteriology. And Noah found grace. Look at that word, can there. Grace, favor. Charis is the New Testament word, the Greek word. He found grace. In the New Testament, it's for by grace, or Ephesians 2 and 8, for in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that faith didn't come from me either. That all comes from God, everything. Grace, we're saved by grace plus grace plus grace plus grace and nothing else. That's it. In eyes, in eyes of Jehovah, Hadabar. Why didn't they pronounce this name? Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. So when you come to this, you always say Hadabar. And what is the Greek equivalent? Hologos. Hologos are the word. All right. Now, Noah found grace in the eyes of Yireh, is a Greek word. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And 6 and verse 9. Let's look at that for just a minute. Eleh. Toledoth. Noah. All right. Noah ish. Tzadik. Tamim. Haya. Bi darato. Et. Ha-Elohim. Hit Ha-Lika. Noah. All right. And these are the family histories. The genea. Where'd the word Genesis come from? Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Where'd that word come from? Where'd the word Exodus come from?
It's all Greek.
It's all Greek. It's from the Greek Septuagint. When Jesus was walking the face of the earth, what book was he quoting most of the time? The Greek Septuagint. All of the names of the Old Testament books come from the Greek Septuagint. All right. But the book of Exodus is called what?
And these names.
We Elishamot. And these names. Now that's basically what it says there. And these names. So in the book of Exodus, it starts off giving the names of Jacob's children. And here we have the name of the family history, the genea of Noah. Why is it talking about this? Because the whole earth had become corrupted. The genetic pool was contaminated. Genesis 3:15 says, through the seed of the woman would come forth the Messiah. But if Satan could contaminate that pool where it was not genetically pure by the time Jesus was supposed to be born, which is 4,000 years later, could he thwart the eternal purpose of God? Theoretically, he could. But what did God do? He sent a flood, which we're going to start talking about. All right? Ish. That means man. Noah was a man straight. Complete. Where do we have the word tzadhe? What word in the Old Testament, what name is called King of Righteousness? Remember who that was? Abraham run into him.
Melchizedek.
King of Righteousness. Melchizedek. King of Righteousness. Here we have the word tzadhe, which means we have the word tzadik, which means righteous, complete, integrity. His genetic line was not polluted. According to Mormonism, it was. Did you know that? What happened? How did the genetic pool on this side of the flood get contaminated according to Mormonism? You learn a little bit about Mormonism tonight? I'll tell you a whole lot about Islam, too, one of these days. We do that, too. What about it? That Ham married one of Cain's daughters. That's how that happened. She was a Cainite. But that isn't what happened, is it? All of Noah's family histories were genetically unpolluted by these rats. Okay? Integrity. Now, God created man in his image, and so if we have these angels cohabiting with women, what are they bringing forth? A slap in the face of God. How many of you ever seen all these Greek and Roman gods and monsters? According to the book of Enoch, these angels were cohabiting with women and raising some awful big people. In the Old Testament, what are some of the Nephilim that were very famous? Name me some Nephilim that were famous.
Goliath
and four of his brothers. There were five of them. How many stones did David pick up there at the book Kidron when he was going to go over there and pick five stones up to kill all five giants? They were Nephilim. When Joshua and Caleb went into that city, what city did Caleb want? Hebron. Because Hebron was what? The city of the giants. And they found some big, large, very large, 10 foot tall. How long was Og? How tall was he? We're going to get a little bit into mythology here in a minute too, before I turn you loose. How tall was Og? He was a giant, wasn't he?
Yeah, his bed was like 12 feet.
Yeah, his bed was about 13 feet long. How wide? 6 foot wide. You know how tall, you know how much a 13 foot or 10 foot tall man would? How much would Goliath have weighed? He was 9 foot, wasn't he? 9 foot tall. How much would a 9 foot tall human weigh? We studied a couple of weeks ago how much his armor was. How much the armor weighed. His helmet, his shield, his spear, 20 foot long spear that he was going to kill David with. And David killed him with a rock. For by grace, 5 was the number of grace, and 5 was the 5 Nephilim that were there, and all of them took off after he killed Goliath. And it names all of them in the scripture. We went and chased them down just a little bit, didn't we? That genetic transfer. God created man, and Adam creates children in his image, and Satan created children to his fallen angels, the Nephilim. And what kind of souls do Nephilim have? Is there any chance of them ever coming to God? How, if Satan only had one third of the forces of heaven, one third of the angels and one third of the spiritual forces, how is that one third ever going to whip two thirds? How would he increase his numbers, theoretically? Nephilim. 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 All right. Now this man was... He had integrity. He had a narrow, upright, tight genealogy. His genealogy was tight. It was upright. It was straight. Tamim. It was blameless, perfect, full, complete. He had become. Among his, the people of his season, the people of his kairos, of his time. The people of his season, in his dwelling age, what he is called contemporaries. You can look that one on page 190 in Brown, Robert, and Briggs. Et ha-Elohim, in the dwelling place, in the time. And Elohim, and he walked with Elohim. With God, he walked for himself. Third person, Master Sina, Hifel, perfect, he had walked. Noah had walked with God. Who was the only other man in the Old Testament that walked with God? Huh?
Enoch.
What does Enoch mean? Teacher.
Teacher.
What was Enoch's son mean? Son's name?
Methuselah.
Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean?
It shall come to pass when he dies.
When he dies, it shall come to pass. When he's dead, it shall come to pass. What would come to pass when Enoch died? The year he died, the flood came on the earth. Did you know any of this?
Now.
Okay, there's a lot in here. There's gobs of stuff in here. Prophetic names. When we find out later on, Noah is going to predict the whole history of mankind in just a couple of chapters. He's going to predict the whole history of mankind. What's going to happen? He's going to say that the Jews are going to lay down the word of God, and Japheth is going to pick it up. And they're going to dwell, Japheth is going to dwell in Shem's tents. Then that's what's happening in the world today. Japheth is dwelling in the tents, the spiritual tents of Shem. The Shemites have laid it down. And he walked with God for himself. Third person, Master Sina, Hifel, perfect. We got about, let's see how many minutes we got left. Now let's go for about one more verse. Then I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Wayalid, Noah, Shiloshah, Vanim, Et, Shem, Et, Kam, We Et, Yepheth. All right. Here are the three boys. Now, Abraham had three wives. He had a Hamite, he had a Shemite, and he had a Japhethite. Who was a Japhethite?
Ketar.
What?
Ketar.
Keturah.
Keturah.
All right, Keturah. And who was a Hamite?
Hagar,
and who was a Shemite?
Yes,
Sarah, which was his half-sister. Okay. And he calls to beget, to generate Noah, three, Shiloshah, three Vanim, three sons. Sons means what? Steve, you remember what that sons means, Ben? according to a pattern. According to whose pattern? The pattern, his pattern. Not angels' patterns. See, they were corrupted. But according to his genetic. These sons are his. Okay? And the wives, we find out from the previous verse that they were pure in their genetic. So Mormonism is wrong. According to Muhammad, how tall was Adam when he created him? Allah? How tall was Allah?
Reached up to the heavens.
All right. His head and shoulders were in the seventh heaven. They believe in seventh heaven. Now it's standing down on earth. According to Muhammad, how many earths are there? Seven. There's one egg-shaped earth, and there's six flat ones. Okay? And how tall was that, was Adam when Allah created him? He stood on the earth, and he was 40 million miles tall. How big is the earth? Is the earth 40 million miles wide? Scientifically, could it be correct at all? Now, he shrunk him because he was up there messing around in the angels' business, wasn't he? And the angels complained to Allah and said, this guy you created, Adam, is up here and his nose is in our business and we're having trouble with him. Do something about it. So he shrunk him down to how tall?
90 feet
tall. 60 cubits tall. How tall, how much does a man 90 feet tall weigh? 270 tons. Can a man's bones structurally hold a man up that tall? No. His bones would crush. Could that be true? No. Couldn't be true, could it? All right. Walking around. Crushing the earth. The earth wouldn't be big enough for him to stand on. It's like this. Here's this Adam supposed to be 40 million miles tall. Long, tall Adam. Standing on this little tiny earth. Compared to 40 million miles, and he's up here in the seventh head, his shoulder and head's up here in the seventh. Did you know that? Okay, did you read that before? All right. He shrunk him down to 90 feet tall. That's not possible either, is it? But that's what they believe. Now, all of mankind got shorter and shorter and shorter after that. And when Muhammad made his night journey, from Mecca to Jerusalem, which was a fictional thing. He didn't go there. Most of the Muslim scholars said he didn't go. He went there in spirit because he was still there in Mecca all the time. He got that ride on that donkey with a man's head on it. That's Barak. He flew there, and it's a Pegasus also. He's got wings on. He flew there over there, and he was in that area, and he taught Jesus, and he taught Noah and Adam and all of them how to pray because he was the best prayer. All right? Best prayer. And then he flew up into the seventh heaven, and he went into all these heavens, and there is a patriarch above every in every heaven when he went from heaven to heaven. How many heavens are there? Three. Why are there three heavens?
You have the atmosphere.
Because of the triuneness of God. He created everything in his image. There's three heavens. What is the first heaven? What's the first heaven? The atmosphere. What's the second heaven? Where the stars are. And what's the third heaven? The abode of God. All right. Did you learn something tonight? Did you get something, Brother Mike? Would you grab something out of this? Steve, did you get something tonight? You going to come back next week? Don't get this scare you off now. You'll get a little bit. We condescended down there a little bit tonight. These boys and girls are smart, aren't they? I'll put them against 99% of the preachers in the United States. They could learn something from them. And we're short tonight. We've got a few of them out. But I hope you've learned something. Remember, the point of no return. Why did they go beyond the point of no return? Angels and evil spirits have always got a lot to do. Do Satan's children, are there people born of Satan today? According to John the Baptist, he said what? When those Pharisees came to him, a lot of those didn't get saved, did they? He said, you sons of what? You sons of snakes, sons of hell,